We go to John chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading here, and then we'll let the Word of God fill in the blanks a little bit. But it said, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana or Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. So Jesus, he's going to the wedding. He likes to go to the wedding. And it says, when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour's not yet come. Now, in no way was that being disrespectful. He was literally saying that my view of being the Messiah had not come. Okay? He wasn't dishonoring his mother. And so verse 5 is the one I want to hone in here, because this was the first miracle that Jesus did. And it said, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, there's a nugget of truth for me and you right there. Whatever he says to me and you, do it. Obey it. Don't question it. Don't reason. Just do it. And so it's interesting here that his first miracle, he turns the water to wine, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he has them get up these big six water pots. The water pots were approximately 30 gallons each, and he tells the servants, he said, fill them with water. Now remember, Jesus' mama says, boys, just do what he says. And they're looking at each other like, fill them up with water. So for them to fill them up with water, would we agree that would take a step of faith and saying, you know what, I don't understand filling these water pots up and thinking they're going to come to wine. Is it going to take place? It's going to have some faith. And so I go to the area of giving, and when Jesus even tells me and you to give, just do whatever he says. But here's the other point on that. Will it take faith to step out, even though sometimes this stuff doesn't make sense? How many of you remember when you started honoring God with your tithes? Did it make any sense with here? No. No, I would say, Father God, this stuff is crazy. You're crazy. But something happens when we just obey. And every one of us in here, we desire miracles in our body, but or in our lives, in our situations. But could the miracles we're needing, could it come from just obey? Now, you don't need to show your hands in here, but anybody in here, a financial miracle right now, just obey. Step out by faith. You know, it's like he told Peter to walk on the water. Does that make any sense? Nope. But I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat setter. What did he say? Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We honor you tonight. Oh, Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit deposit in every one of us the heart of Jesus' mother. Whatever he says to do, just do it. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Just do it. Just obey. Okay, jump with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we've been on our series on the authority of the believer. Powerful, and what I found out as a born-again Christian, as a believer, you can know the promises of God. You can know what the Bible says, but still not appropriate it, and it won't do you any good. And so some of this, I believe, is to stir us up to see what the Bible says on some of these areas, but also to learn what Jesus tells me and you to do. It's going to be enlightening tonight. Oh my gosh, I've had a ball. I've had a ball studying this. And so I'm kind of like a little kid in here today. Ooh, I'm ready to speak the word of God, and I believe the truth's going to set you free tonight. So we begin Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father. Always giving thanks to the Father. Now, that statement right there, giving thanks to the Father, it cross-references us to Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20 says, always give thanks to the Father in the name of Jesus. So that would be viewed as this, Father God, I thank you today for everything you've done for me in Jesus' name. I thank you for blessing me today in Jesus' name. I thank you for your peace for me today in Jesus' name. So he tells us right here, giving thanks to the Father in the name of Jesus, who has qualified us. Now, when I read that statement there, he's qualified us. How did he qualify us? Through the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus qualified every one of us. What he did on the cross, his blood and his broken body. So Father God knew we could never make it. So he said, I'm going to send my son and he's going to qualify you. How do you get qualified? When you give your heart to Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're now qualified. You are now viewed as a daughter or a son of God. So he's qualified us. Keep following me here. He's qualified us to be partakers, to share of the inheritance. Now, this may be news to some of us tonight, but you got an inheritance. The inheritance of the saints that are in light. The inheritance of the saints, and the way I become in light is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the word qualified here is to make competent. It means sufficient. It means to entitle. It means to authorize. It actually has a meaning to enable us. So when me and you have an inheritance, the first thing we got to do is find out what our inheritance is. Do you know you can have an inheritance and not know anything about it and not do you any good? So I got to understand, I got to find out what my inheritance is, and then I got to find out how do I allocate it? How do I get it to start benefiting me? But it's interesting, God said, I got you an inheritance. Now you want to know what your inheritance is? You've been saved, salvation. You've been justified, 2 Corinthians 5, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You've been sanctified. How'd you get sanctified, set apart, declared holy? Just because of Jesus. You've been consecrated, you've been purified, and this is a good one, Psalms 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So part of your inheritance has ever been that he redeemed you. What did he redeem you from? According to Galatians 3:13, he redeemed you from poverty, sickness, and death, eternal damnation. Thank you. There's two or three of you that are happy. The rest of you need to get happy, okay? I got an inheritance. So the way I start finding out what my inheritance is, start reading the Bible. Read the Bible. And the Bible will tell you what your inheritance is. Verse 13. He has delivered us. He has rescued us. Now, when I read that, God's desire is to deliver and to rescue every human being. But he's delivered us, and look what it said he's delivered us from. From the power of darkness. From the rule, the dominion, the domain of darkness. Now, if you really like to dig in the word where it says that he's delivered us, there'll be a little cross reference there. It'll take you to Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, which are fallen angels that are now demons, okay? And so right there, he tells me and you, he's delivered you. Now that's part of your inheritance. And when God said he delivers us, he means he delivered us. In other words, me and you, we put up with stuff we shouldn't be putting up with. And so he said, I've delivered you, I've rescued you from the power of darkness. You know, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It's just we've opened our lives up to things of the enemy. Do you know that's Ephesians 4:27? It says, don't give place to the devil. We give place to the devil when we sin and we don't repent of it and turn from it. We give place to the devil by the things we see with our eyes. We give place to the devil by the stuff we listen to. And so you know what he's telling us here? God's delivered from us, but you can't keep cracking the door. You can't keep leaving the door of your life open to those things. Shut the door. Shut the door. Slam the devil's big toe in the door in Jesus' name. So when he says he's delivered you from the power of darkness, darkness for every one of us in here can look differently. Now you've heard me probably say this a jillion times, but the darkness in my life, I was dominated by alcohol. And man, it became darkness. I mean, it caused me to change my personality, my care, everything about me. And so the darkness in your life, if you have darkness, what is it? What is it? And then I go before the Lord and I stand on Colossians 1:13. I say, thank you, Father God. You said you've delivered me from the power of darkness. Now, if you'll notice, it says he has. You know what that means? He's done it. He's done it. So this is part of you and me's inheritance, but I got to know what it is. Deliverance is part of my inheritance. And so part of the things we got to understand, how do we allocate it? In the name of Jesus. So he said, I've delivered you from the power of darkness, and I've conveyed you, or I've transferred you into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In other words, part of my inheritance is, I don't have to be a slave to sin. I don't have to be a slave to addictions anymore. I don't have to be that. And so you stand on this word. You stand on Colossians 1:13. You stand on it. I'm telling you right now, you stay with the Word of God. The Word of God will work. Too many times we treat God like an ATM. Now. And people will say, well, Pastor, I prayed for deliverance for 2 days and nothing happened. Stay with it. Stay with it. It'll work. And so I got a hold of this years ago because me and Shelly saw the damage it was doing in my life. So I begin to memorize this verse. And before I memorized it, I wrote it on 2x5 cards, whatever they are. My calculations are a little off. Man, I'd pin them all over the place. I had it in the mirror, man. When I'd be in there shaving in the morning, I'd say, Colossians 1:13, you delivered me from the... I had it on the dashboard of my vehicle. Now listen real close to me. From the time me and Shelly came into the agreement, and if you're married, get into agreement with your spouse. You know, according to Matthew 18, that's some of the strongest prayer you can have, the prayer of agreement between a husband and wife. Two of you, it just takes two. And so we begin to pray and we'd say that, but from the time we started praying that and standing on that until I was totally free was about 4 years. Now that doesn't mean I didn't have some fruit. Any of you who've ever been addicted from anything, you go a day without that, and that's a big deal. And so I started getting further and further and further. And man, I would go 6 months, I would go, and before long I realized I hadn't had a drink. Darkness, I've been rescued. My inheritance, and here I stand 40 years later, still free. So don't tell me the Word of God doesn't work. Yeah, you clap to the Lord. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Now, I'm taking you here to Acts 10, and the reason I'm going to take you here is because this one passage of just this one verse in Acts 10 is a huge nugget of truth for me and you. Acts 10, verse 38. How Father God, the Creator, he anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, when we talk about the anointing, the word anointing, maybe the best word that I can define it with, is an enabling. It's like a grace. So we see here it says how God anointed, he enabled Jesus of Nazareth. Now listen what he anointed him with. With the Holy Spirit and with power. The Amplified says with strength, ability, and power. Now think about it in this sense. You get the Holy Spirit, you get power. Where's that? That's Acts 1:8. So he said, I anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and power. So listen, think about this thought. When the Lord Jesus walked this earth, he had to be under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, just like me and you. He was the Son of Man here. And so when Jesus walked this earth, he walked just like me and you. The only difference was he never sinned. So he said he anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. It wasn't to make him feel good. It wasn't to give him Holy Ghost goosebumps. So when he anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, look what he anointed the Holy Spirit power for. Who went about doing good, wonderful things for people, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Whoa. Those who were harassed or oppressed by the power of the devil. Those that were under the power of the devil. So if you look here, when Jesus operated on the earth, he operated in the power of the Holy Spirit and power, and it said he went about healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. So now we got to define the word oppressed. The word oppressed literally means to be weighed down, to like push you down. That doesn't mean you're a bad person, okay? And so there's times in our life that we get oppressed. The enemy tries to oppress us. How many have been going through a day before and all of a sudden it's like depression, crazy stuff starts happening to you? That can be oppression. Now it's interesting, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by who? The devil. So when oppression comes, it isn't from God. It's from the devil. And the devil's vision statement is John 10:10. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll do everything he can to rip you off. So it says here, he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed for the devil, for God was with him. So here's a question for you. Does God still anoint people with the Holy Spirit and power? He does. And if you look what it was for, he said, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. So when I read that, and we all agree that the anointing, that God still anoints people with the Holy Spirit, you know what that means? The devil is still oppressing folk. And so Jesus' assignment was, I'm going to set them free. I'm going to set them free. I'm going to take care of that for them. And so now we really dive into where we're going tonight. Look with me in Luke chapter 10. So Jesus modeled some stuff for me and you. Just what he did on the face of the earth. And when Jesus did those things, yes, it was to set people free. It was to heal people. But he modeled stuff for the disciples and he modeled stuff for me and you. So let's watch real closely what he modeled to. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed, he chose 70 others also, and he sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So when we read this correctly here, he sends out 35 teams of two. There's 70 of them, two of them. He would pair them up. Do you know, I really wonder when I read that about two that he knew. I got to get two to get in a place of agreement. If I can just get two to agree. So he's got two. And they go out and we know the assignment is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so he sends them out. Luke 10, verse 17, same chapter, verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy. They got joy, joy, joy down in their heart. And they come back with joy, saying, Lord, saying, Lord, saying, Lord. They come back and they're full of joy. They said, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Now listen, listen. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. Even the demons obey us when we command them in your name. The demons obey us when we speak your name. Now, here's what's powerful about this. They use his name even without his physical presence being there. He's not with them. So what this picture is, it's for me and you. Just because Jesus isn't with us doesn't mean his name doesn't work. And so it's incredible, right? They come skipping back and they say, Jesus, this stuff's crazy. Even the demons are subject to, they obey us when we command in your name. So when I read this right here, you've got to speak the name of Jesus. I got to speak that out of my mouth. When there's demonic activity, when there's oppression, when the spirit of fear, and fear is a spirit according to 2 Timothy 1:7, when fear comes into your kid's room at night, don't tell them, suck it up. You speak the name of Jesus. You run him out. You don't put up with that, okay? Thank you. Okay, I'm coming on. Even the demons, they're subject to us in your name. We command. Now, let that soak in you. Now, again, I'm not on a demon hunt. I'm not on a witch hunt. I'm just telling you, when stuff arises in your home, don't put up with it, okay? Right. So here's the picture of authority. Authority or power is delegated authority. So here's the picture I want you to see right now. Let's just say we're all out by Jones Stadium, right down here off Marsha Sharp. The ball game is over. There's 60,000 crazy tortilla-throwing fans that are all wanting to leave and get home. And everybody's going fast. And there's a police officer standing in the middle of Marsha Sharp directing traffic. Now, we know that police officer is no match to hold a car going 50 mile an hour coming right at him. We would think, you're stupid. You can't push it back. But this is how delegated authority does. That he's in his uniform, he's got his badge on, and when he does this, you do this. Again, that's just delegated authority. Every one of us understand that badge and that uniform. And so we know when he does this, we stop. When he does this, we go. When he does this, we go. We all understand that. That's the same way that the name of Jesus works with us. We got delegated authority. I got my badge on. There's a new sheriff in town, a new deputy. And you know what? I come under the name of Jesus. Verse 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, when I read that right there, you got to get this. I saw Satan fall like heaven. He saw in their ministry their present and ultimate defeat of Satan. And so when he says, I saw Satan fall like heaven, that's when the devil messed up, that God booted him out of heaven. Gave him the boot. And Jesus is telling him, I saw him get the boot. And you know where he landed? Right here on earth. And here's the thing you got to understand. He's still here today. He's going to be here until Jesus comes back the second time. But remember last week, Colossians 2:15, Jesus said, I disarm principalities and powers. So again, he's got a gun, but he just doesn't have no bullets. He's still here. Now, Here's your biblical thought. I've heard people say this before. I prayed and I told devil, you go back to the pit of hell. That's not biblical. He has a right to be here right now. And so as long as he's here, you speak the name of Jesus. You speak Jesus' name. Okay, watch what happens. Keep going here. Verse 19. Behold, now this is the Lord Jesus. I give you. I give you the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions. And serpents and scorpions are symbols of spiritual enemies or demonic power. Now notice he said, I've given you the authority. He didn't say that he's going to do it for you. He's already done it. I give you. So guess what he just told me and you? Quit putting up with stuff you're putting up. If you're born again, you have a right to use the name of Jesus. So he said, I give you authority to trample upon serpents, scorpions. And listen to this. Over all the power of the enemy. You know what all means? All? All still means all. It doesn't matter if it's big demons, little demons, all. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. What a powerful statement. What a powerful statement. Verse 20. Nevertheless, however, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, you know what he just said there? He said, the greatest gift me and you can have, you get to go to heaven. Your name is registered in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21, 27. He said, that's the greatest gift. That's the greatest joy you can have. But there's a little nugget in there we can't overlook. He said, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to us. So again, he puts that nugget in there. The greatest gifts is we get to go to heaven. But he said, and P.S., by the way, don't forget, the devil's subject to you in my name. He bows in the name of Jesus. So what have you been putting up with? There's things in our life, I'm telling you. Man, you speak the name of Jesus. You speak the blood of the Lamb. So I got just a few minutes. So this is, I'm just going to tell you the date. This is the fall, October of 1981, a few moons ago. Me and Shelly are at Bible school. A man of God comes, and I'm just going to tell you his name. His name is Dr. Lester Sumrall. If you can ever get books on him, he still has books. Dr. Sumrall's in heaven. You read his books, I'm telling you. Just a man of God, a man of God. So I'm there listening to him in person. He tells the story that he has moved to Manila in the Philippines. The Lord moved him there to start a church. He said, man, I got people in the Philippines that need to get born again. So he's in the Philippines, but he's having problems getting a building. He can't get a building. Everywhere he's looking, he can't get a building. Nothing's happening like he hoped it would. And so one day he's got his radio on, and he hears this DJ come on, and the DJ says, listen, if you don't like violent stuff, if you've got young children in your car, turn the radio off. Well, Dr. Sumrall said, I turned it up. And he said, all of a sudden in the background, I hear these crazy screams. He said, I hear a woman's voice, and she's cursing God, she's cursing Jesus, she's cursing everybody. So after this plays for a little bit, the mayor of the Manila, Philippines, comes on the air and says, if there's anyone in this city that can help us, we don't know what to do with this woman. They don't have a clue what it is. They don't realize it's the devil. So Dr. Sumrall's driving around, and the Lord starts dealing with him. The Lord says to him, you're the only person I got in this massive city that knows how to deal with the devil. And Dr. Sumrall said, I told the Lord, nope, I'm more concerned about building the church. I'm not going to do that. And the Lord had to twist his arm a little bit and said, you're going to go. So he goes to the police office, And the police of chiefs there, or the chief of police is there, and he said to him, he said, listen, we don't know what to do. There's some crazy stuff happening. He said, like what? And he said, well, anytime one of our guards get near this woman, she tells him, she said, if you touch me, you'll be in the hospital tomorrow. Stuff's going to happen. And he said, when they go in there, stuff happens. He said, we can't get near this woman. And so Dr. Summerall said, I'm your man. So before they allow him to go in there, he has to sign a release that says, you're not responsible if she kills me. Oh, happy day. So they take him in, they open the door, and he looks. She's a teenage girl. He steps in, and she looks, and she starts cursing him. She says, I know the Lord Jesus has sent you here. You won't, just starts mouthing, talking, just yuck. And he said, after a few minutes, he said, I looked at her and I said, shut up and come out of her in the name of Jesus. And he said, all of a sudden she kind of looked at me. He said, this goes on for 12 hours. He said, there were times I would speak the name, I would see her. He said, her whole countenance would change. Her eyes would clear up. And then he said, after a little while, he said, I would see this confusion come back on her, and her eyes would get crazy again. And Dad said, nope, you got to go in Jesus' name. You got to go in Jesus' name. So after 12 hours, peace of God comes in there. She gets born again. She gives her heart to Jesus. So they're sitting there in the jail talking about Jesus, and he sees this look come on her, and he says, are they back? And she said, yes, right there. And he goes, you're born again. He said, you tell them to go in the name of Jesus. And so she spoke and she said, Jesus' name. So they left. So the next morning, Dr. Summerall and this little girl, her name was Clarita. I've never forgot the story. They leave the jail. I'm telling you, every news station in the Philippines is there. The mayor's there. Everybody's there. And the mayor said to Dr. Summerall, he said, what can we do for you? And he said, I need a church building. He goes, it's yours. He said, they had so much TV publicity that next weekend, 75,000 people got born again. Can I go just a little bit further on this? Thank you. I knew you guys would agree with me. So he gets to sit down with this young girl named Clarita. She starts coming to church. And he asked her, he said, darling, she was 16 years old when this took place. Darling, what happened in your life that caused all this to begin to happen? And she said, when I was 12 years old, my parents started prostituting me. She said, I remember one night when I was 14, she said, a man did just horrible things to me. And she said, it was more than just physical. She said, he cursed me and all that. And she said, after that, she said, it was just like these demons began to control me. You know, I'm hanging in here right now just for a little bit, because many times we have stuff that happens to us in our childhood, our teenage years, and we have this thought, I'll just outgrow it. We don't outgrow things spiritually. We must deal with them biblically. Now, I can tell you stuff in my own life, that there was a spirit of fear that came on me at a young age. At about 5. And that spirit dominated me deep into my teen years. There was stuff that began to happen. Again, my people perished for a lack of knowledge. But when me and Shelly got born again and we started reading the Bible and we started figuring out our inheritances and the name of Jesus, I said, I need to go back in my childhood. And I began to wash myself with the blood of the Lamb. I'd say that daily, Lord, I wash my mind, my tongue, my thoughts. So I'm going to have you stand up right there, okay? Ooh, you guys have done good tonight. You guys have done good. So I just ask you, just right there, bow your head before the Lord. And can raise your hands to heaven. Father God, we thank you right now that you qualified us. You've qualified us through the blood of the Lamb. Now listen, if you're born again, you've given your heart to, you've been qualified. If you haven't been qualified, I want to speak to you after the service. I want you to come down here. We got to get you saved tonight. But if you are, you have a legal right to walk in the power, the authority of the name of Jesus. And so I sense right now there's some of us that we've had the thought, I'm going to outgrow this, or we've put up with stuff over and over. So Father God, right now, and you say this out of your mouth, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I speak the blood of your Son over my mind, my emotions, my heart. And I thank you tonight for the name of Jesus, that all the demons are subject to your name, Lord Jesus. And right now, I break the power of darkness over my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's clap to the Lord.